I'm joined by Simon Kos.
Hello.
And Antoine Tracou.
Bonsoir.
Who have both together worked on a film that they've just shown to the public here. The film is called Wait and See in Brexit's Troubled Waters. Simon, could you just give us a brief outline about the subject of your film?
Yeah, well, it's a film that came out of the fact that I decided to take French nationality after Brexit, which I guess is maybe something that a lot of your listeners will understand. And I was very upset and angry about Brexit when it happened. And I talked to a lot of my friends about that, including Antoine. And I think I probably annoyed them quite a lot with my constant moaning. And at one point, Antoine said, stop moaning, let's make a film about this instead. Which I thought, I said, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. And at that point, we didn't really have an idea for a film, but we just knew that we'd kind of base it on this idea of, you know, what happened to me and how I felt about my identity getting ripped in half by this thing that I had no control over. Because, like, again, like a lot of people are probably listening to this, I'm one of those people who didn't have the right to vote in the referendum because I'd lived outside the UK for more than 15 years. So I went through the process of getting a French nationality, and then I got it. I was very fortunate to get it. And then I got the information about when I go and get my first passport. So I said to Antoine, well, why don't we film that? And that can maybe be the beginning of the film. Yeah. We didn't have anything else at that point. We just had that sequence.
We were at this time thinking about question about European identity. In what way can I feel like a European citizen too? That's the reason why we make this first sequence. And when we start the editing of the film, it was really evident that the first sequence has to start with that.
Yeah, we didn't want to make a kind of big global film about, you know, what does Brexit mean and make a big journalistic inquiry into Brexit's this, that and the other. Partly because we just weren't interested in doing that, and partly because everybody else we knew and the media everywhere was doing that, and we really didn't feel we had anything to add to that particular discussion.
So you picked a subject very close to Breton people's heart,
which is
fishing.
Yeah, and that came from the idea, as Antoine was saying, as, you know, we were talking about what it means to be European and the identity and all of that, and we then said, well, Europe's also here where we live, it's not elsewhere, and here where we live, or what's important to people. Fishing came up pretty quickly, as anyone who lives in Brittany will attest to, and also the idea of, you know, people who are working in this sea that's between the UK and Brittany very quickly emerges as a very powerful metaphor for Brittany, because, you know, either this sea is something that unites us or that divides us. You know, the zones that we were fishing in have been a shared resource for a long time, somewhere where French or Breton and Cornish fishermen worked in the same waters and you know, deal with the same very dangerous lifestyles. And this event, Brexit, was kind of going to change that, and we didn't know how, but we just wanted to go meet people and talk to them, really. You know, the idea of fishing came out of that, and then we had to, you know, then there was the technical things about finding the boat we were going to go in and all of that.
Oh, yes, you went to sea, in fact.
We went to sea twice, yes.
Okay, and have you done this kind of thing before?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a fisherman of a...
No, I'm not a fisherman at all, but I've been a long time ago on a big boat, 2 weeks, in winter.
You set off on a fishing boat from southern Brittany.
Yeah, from Gilvinec.
Yeah.
To Newlyn.
Yeah, usually this boat stay 2 weeks on sea, you know, and he decided it was okay to bring us to Newlyn after 1 week. So he gave us time, their own time, for our film. I feel they feel concerned by our film at this time, so maybe that's the reason why they decided to help us.
The effect of Brexit on Britain, very important for them.
Yeah, but at this time they don't talk a lot about that. In March 2018. They were not talking a lot about the Brexit. They said, well, wait and see, we don't know for the moment.
Where the title came from. Antoine found the title as well. The title in English, found by the French director. So.
I don't know what happens to me in my head this day.
Well,
it's wait and see. I should explain to listeners that it's the sea is actually S-E-A.
Yeah, like the sea.
And it's troubled waters, in fact. It's a very difficult issue to resolve, isn't it? Because both sides of the channel have different opinions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a kind of paradox around the fishing world and Brexit, which is that the UK fishermen voted in a vast majority for leave, and about over 90% of them, with the argument, essentially, we want our waters back. They felt that the European fisheries policy is very unfair to them, that boats from other European countries can fish more fish in UK waters than they can, and objectively, quite often that is the case. But the flip side of that is that they sell the vast majority of their fish in Europe, I mean between 75 and 80% depending on who you speak to. And if they take back control of the waters and don't let the European boats in, then there'll be a tit for tat, which is that they'll find it very hard to sell into Europe, and that's a real economic problem for them. And so that was really this paradox in the fishing world came up, and then it kind of was, you know, metaphorical perhaps for the paradox, the whole Brexit paradox really, which is we're looking at a situation where everybody loses if we don't get it right.
Your film is 52 minutes long. Yeah. Donc it's destined for television viewing.
Yeah.
So it's shown already on French TV.
Yeah. On April, at the beginning of April, on France 3.
And how about showing it in the UK?
Yeah, we'd be really keen to show it in the UK. We showed it in Guernsey. That's as near the UK as we got so far. We're trying to get closer and closer.
We're arriving.
We showed the film at the Dinard British Film Festival at the end of September. And we met some people there who were quite keen to try and show it in the UK. One of the problems we've come up with in the UK is what they're calling Brexit fatigue over there. When we've tried to contact broadcasters and places where the film could be shown, a lot of people have just said we've had it up to here with Brexit and we just really want to move on and not another film about Brexit. We obviously think our film is a little bit of a different way of looking at the whole debate, where we've tried to focus on the importance of listening to people you don't necessarily agree with, trying to bring people together, trying to keep links instead of driving people apart.
Do you have a particular audience in mind?
Anybody who wants to watch it, really. I mean, I'd like people who voted Leave to come and see it as much as people who voted Remain, and we certainly didn't set out to judge anybody. I mean,
have you come across anybody who's changed their minds about Brexit?
No, I don't think so. No, not because of our film.
No, it's too late.
What was important for us was the idea that people need to keep talking to each other, you know, and listen to each other and not judge each other. I mean, one of the things that I found most upsetting about what's happened with the Brexit situation in the UK is how it's ripped that country in half. Whether or not we leave the EU, that's not going to go away. I mean, if there's a second referendum and Remain pulls it off, or if we leave on the 31st of October or whatever, those divisions that have been brought out by Brexit aren't going to go away on their own.
You chose two ports that have similarities in that they are fishing ports, but did you notice any important differences between the two communities?
Yeah. The main difference is the fish industry in Le Guilvinec is all over the city, you know. Everything is on around that most. And in Yulin, it's in a little part of the city, you know, you don't feel. It's
not the main driving force of the local economy in Yulin. Yeah. Guilvinec, it really is. It's at the heart of the local economy. There's all sorts of industries that rely on fishing. I mean, one of the quotes we gave was that for every job at sea, you have four jobs on land. And I mean, that's also true in Yulin, but you really see that in Guilvinec. If you took fishing out of that community, it would rip the heart out of it, and it's hugely important. In Yulin, the fishing industry is, as Anton was saying, that Yulin is actually next to Penzance, which is a big-ish tourist town in Cornwall, and I'm sure it's got other parts of the economy as well, because I can imagine listeners from Penzance are now going to be spitting their cornflakes out. But the fishing industry within that part of Cornwall is clearly not at the heart of the local economy in the same way that it is in Guilvinec. So that was perhaps the biggest difference. Beyond that, we saw a lot of similarities. I mean, the countryside, the landscapes, the seascapes are very, very similar, obviously. The local languages, Breton and Cornish, are very similar. Obviously, one of the things we learned very quickly was that local beer in Cornwall is called Corrèves. And here in Brittany, it's called Coref, and it's just two different ways of. I think that means horse in Breton, as far as I know. There's lots of places in, as you probably know, if you know Cornwall, that begin with the prefix pen, like we have in Brittany. So you could really sense a shared culture in the two parts of this, you know, Celtic world that we visited. And then obviously, when you actually get into the fishing communities, you very quickly realise that people in those communities are, you know, fishermen or women first, and then they're perhaps Breton second or Cornish second, and then English third. So we went out with the kind of idea that actually these people had a lot in common. We that was our intuition, and that was born out.
Really. Was the experience on the two boats,
yeah,
the English boat and the French Breton boat, was it any different?
Yeah. I mean, the French boat had a French crew from Guilvinec. It was a 5-man crew on the French boat. We ate together 3 times a day. The crew took turns in cooking for us, and there was a real sense of unity between the crew members, and they also came from that part of the world. If they didn't live in Guilvinec, they lived in the next town. On the UK boat, the skipper David lived in St Ives, so not very far away from where we were fishing. But the other crew members, there's a chap who came from up near Newcastle on Tyne, who drove down about 800 kilometres to work, and the two other crew members were from Latvia, and they worked for 3 months of the year on the boat, and then they went home. And so the atmosphere on board was very different. It was much more workaday. I'm not saying, you know, it was clearly the French boat, the people worked very hard and they were highly professional. But on the English boat, the relationships between the people were pretty much work relationships. We only ate together once a day. Apart from that, you could go and make sandwiches in the kitchen when you wanted. That was the way they ran their boat. So the sense of friendship, in inverted commas, I'm not sure, you know, necessarily the people in the French boat were friends as such, but there was a much stronger link between them as people who all came from the same community, which wasn't exactly the same thing on the UK boat. So that was the biggest difference. Afterwards, everybody was extremely welcoming and kind on both boats. You know, we certainly felt very welcome. And obviously on the English boat, we'd taken the decision to go to sea for 8 days with somebody who, you know, on principle, I quite seriously disagreed with. And that kind of worked out all right in the end. You know, we talked and we got on. You know, I'm not going to change David's mind, and he's not going to change mine. But we talk. We still email each other now and again. You know, and when David came over to Guilvinec, that was, you know, we suggested he came over. It was the first time he'd ever come to France or to Brittany. I thought, you know, he and Soisy, who's the one of the other characters in the film who runs a French fishing company, they had a very frank and open discussion. But what struck me in the discussions that they had was that actually they agreed on most things. Certainly when it came to Europe, neither of them were particularly happy about the way the European Union worked. The only difference they had was what's the best way to change it? And David had taken the decision, the only way we can change this thing is to get out. And Soisy, and I guess it's my point of view too, is that the best way to change Europe is to stay in and we change it all together, but that it needs changing, everybody agreed on that. And I know that's why Brexit makes me sad, really, because I think, you know, we could have worked this one out together.
Has your film been a springboard for your next project?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't got a next project yet, but we're quite interested in getting to know the people who live in this part of Brittany a bit better. So that might be a next project. We'll talk to the Crez Brez people with pleasure.
What happens for Brit people who live here? After Brexit will be...
It's always a pleasure to come to this part of Britain anyway.
Yeah, sure.
That's just the right way to finish the interview.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Simon Kos, Antoine Tacou.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Cheers, Yahmad.
Cheers, Yahmad.
Thank you very much.